We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
You got to follow the Patriots, tell them call me. They still got to pay me, so might as well let me earn it.
Man, tension. You can always make up.
Like, forget owing it to the fans to bring Antonio Brown back. He owes it to Tom Brady.
Talk to Mr. Kraft. Come on.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I would think so.
Yes. Yes. Love it.
I could see Kraft and Brown, yeah, you know, making up.
Not a chance.
Dunsky. Dale Arnold.
Everybody's so sick of the Patriots in the United States, basically.
Oh,
that
so
it would make a good storyline.
I'm tired of all this winning.
Rich Keefe.
If your kid was playing against the Patriots in a Super Bowl, you wouldn't want your kid to win a Super Bowl?
No.
Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Steve Biasi is in the house with us, as he is every Thursday during the football season. Peter King will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get his perspective on the possibility of an Antonio Brown return and if there are other targets out there available for the Patriots to get at a receiving spot. One quick note as we get back to the calls with you guys. Evidently, Randy Arozarena, who's an outfielder for the St. Louis Cardinals, took a page out of Antonio Brown's playbook last night.
Oh, he was booming last night.
So Randy had his cell phone video going live during his manager Mike Schilt's locker room comments to the team. Nobody else is in there, just the team. And Mike Schilt got a little colorful, let's just say. And can we even play this darn thing?
I can't imagine that we can.
Somebody attempted to censor
it. No, I don't want
to
hear attempted
We probably need to
beep.
Give it says air safe on the file, so I trust it.
It probably is, then.
Well, let's
this
just,
has never backfired.
Let's say Mike Schilt got a little colorful last night.
Yeah.
What I'm loving about this series is we played the game hard, we played the game right. We started some we finished the and that's how we roll. We don't start, but no one with us ever. All right. Now I don't give a who we play. We're gonna them up. We're gonna take it right to them the whole way. We're gonna kick their ass.
Yeah.
Let's go.
You play baseball.
Yeah. First of all, calm down, Mike.
Relax a little bit.
Was this before or after the champagne bath?
This was probably just before the champagne
right before
bath.
They passed out goggles.
Yeah.
I still can't understand that.
They do 18 champagne baths a year.
I don't get it.
But Arozarena is a rookie. He's like a 24-year-old Cuban rookie.
You think he got in a little trouble last night?
I think they said maybe don't do that.
Facebook living that out of the locker room.
There's no
media in there. It's only players, coaches, trainers, and his phone.
And his manager, who's having a real go there. He's very fired up, very excited. Like, what's going on? They're gonna fight the next team?
It's a big win.
You're gonna fight them?
It's a big win.
As a baseball player, I mean, maybe we can ask
Marlon. By the way, they won 13-1 too. It's
is that a phrase though you use in baseball? We're gonna bleep them up. I've obviously in football, I could see it in hockey, even in basketball in a way, but you're starting to lose it a little bit. But in baseball? Like what?
Yeah, you're aggressive,
is that right?
Running hard, you're diving for the extra base.
We're going to kick their ass.
We're going to kick them in.
And by kick their ass, I mean take a lot of pitches up there. Try to work the counts a little bit. We're going to work the counts. We might drop it down a bunt and try to beat it out to first.
We might even pitch you high in.
We might do a hit and run. We're going to get real crazy on them. We're going to hit and run. We're going to go the other way. Be aggressive on the base pass.
I don't give a who we play.
Oh, he doesn't
damn
care.
Right,
oh, I don't care who it is.
Damn right.
I don't care who it is.
Because you never leave the dugout anyway.
Even if I set aside his, shall we say, over-aggressiveness with his post-game speech, the fact that one of his players decided, let's just put this up
for
everybody
to see. He's enjoying
the
moment. He's a kid. He's 24 years old.
He's
living in the moment. Yeah.
He's a giver.
He's like, oh, this could get a lot of hits on Instagram.
So we now know of two. We know Antonio did it.
He was great at it.
With Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
He had the Facebook Live going. And now Randy Arozarena.
Yeah, nice.
You wonder if
behind the scenes.
Who evidently doesn't want to be on the roster for the NLCS.
Well, keep an eye on that.
You wonder if Arena was, I remember watching Antonio Brown's, he was actually kind of looked like he was sneaking around a little bit.
He was. Yeah. He was at least tiptoeing around. Yeah. A couple of players were like whispering, like, ooh, yeah.
Well, Randy was kind of behind a bunch of guys.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like he was in the front row holding up his phone.
Hey, coach.
Holding up there.
No, he was kind of, there was a bunch of guys in front of him. You can see on the video, and he's kind of holding the phone up, you know. And
he's like, oh, this will work. But that the way that manager was going nuts about it, he probably embraces it. He didn't care. He didn't care who it is.
Yeah, until he heard from MLB and heard from ownership.
Bleep them all up.
No, I mean, it sounds a little silly when you're talking about baseball. Fine, say what you want to say in a locker room with your men.
I don't give a bleep who we face. It could be the big red machine. I don't care who it is.
Look, all right.
We're going to f*** him up. We're going to take it right to him.
Are you?
What? F***ing ass.
We might... What about suicide squeeze on them?
We're gonna do it all.
They're playing, might not want to show up. That's hard talk.
We're gonna fake a bunt, try to get in their head a little bit, distract them.
We're gonna like double steal.
Hard tags.
Hard tag all around, guys. I want to apply those tags. Hard tags.
Take them in the face.
We're going to take out the catcher. It's like, sir, we're not allowed to do that anymore. They changed the rules. There's no collisions at home plate anymore.
We're doing it anyway.
That's all right. That's okay. Yeah, that guy, man. So good luck to the St. Louis Cardinals and that badass manager they got. What's his name? Mike Schilt?
Schilt.
All right.
Which is almost what he was saying half the time.
It was a lot of it there.
We would have had to bleep it if he had said Schilt. So.
He was mad. Man. Why do we believe how mad he was.
Now, Antonio's not that young. Rosarena is a rookie, as Rich pointed out. Why do we think young guys think, this will be fine?
Because
they've
been raised on social media.
Yeah, think about it. I mean, that's just everybody is constantly documenting everything.
Right.
Like, there's videos. Like, how do you think there's all those funny videos online? It's because people have a thousand, they just constantly are videoing things, and then once in a blue moon, they catch something that's worth posting and retweeting, and now all of a sudden, there's a million views. It's because everybody has their phone out all the time, and these guys are thinking, all right, the game's over. What do I do next? First of all, he checked his phone.
Yep.
Ooh, did anybody say anything nice about me? Ooh, we won. What would they say?
For the hearts running up the right side of the screen. The
but I'm saying
hearts.
He pulls his phone out at first just to make sure what they say during the game, because God forbid he had to probably put it in his locker for 3 hours.
No, he probably kept it. It was in the dugout anyway.
I wouldn't rule it out. Maybe he was looking at it in the dugout anyway. And then he's like, you know what? This would be a great video. This would be a great Instagram Live. Here we go.
And in his world, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what I get it. I understand it. I'm glad there was no cell phone cameras around when I was playing. But that's, you're talking about a generation, at least, of people with cell phone cameras that want to document their life.
It's an unwritten rule that probably needs to be written by a lot of these managers now.
They just have to say flat out, nobody has their phones going when we're talking.
How do you not know that? Well, first of all,
I think you're hoping that people wouldn't.
No, but common sense. But you can't.
Yeah, I guess you gotta.
You can't do that. You can't think that people will automatically understand that's a no-go zone.
Do you think Bill Belichick had to say in a meeting, we don't video the locker room? Or do you think it's sort of already implied there?
Didn't have to say it.
Right.
Bet you he did.
He did anyway.
Yeah, didn't have to say. Why leave any chance?
But it also speaks to...
Why let some young guy say, well, I didn't know. You didn't tell me.
It's also the play, like the veteran leaders and like the captains,
good
too.
Good point.
Like what's allowed and what isn't. Because that would be a thing where I would think Belichick wouldn't even want to be...
If you had a rookie pull out his phone in the locker room right after the game, I guarantee you there's three or four vets trying to grab the phone from him.
Right.
Guaranteed.
Right. We've seen the Patriots do it twice this year, actually, post-game.
Yep.
And in both cases, it was for a teammate who was home because their wife was having a baby, and it was, we're including Kyle Van Noy in this, fellas. Here he is. I mean, a whole lot different than... Now, the Patriots actually end up putting out their own video of Belichick's comments in the locker room.
Yeah, they do like a quick thing. Yes. Matthew Slater breakdown.
But I got a feeling he's got editorial control.
Of course.
And they also probably trust the PR person or whoever's in charge of that to just...
Of course.
You have 60 seconds. I know I'm being filmed. Yeah,
right.
It's,
and I wouldn't be surprised if it's part of the rules that say, okay, well, now that this is over, okay, if you want to do something, help yourself. If you want to post something, I guess. But you don't see a lot of it. It stands out so much. I'm surprised you don't see more of it. More of what Antonio Brown did, more than what this rookie did. I'm surprised you don't see more of it. It's because it's addictive. There's plenty
for sure.
of people that are absolutely addicted to social media, and sometimes it's difficult to tear yourself away from it.
I'll be curious to see if something comes out of St. Louis today, if they have some sort of a statement or some sort of a comment.
Did he delete it? I assume that he did. I don't even know, though.
I don't know, because it was running live. A friend of mine who works for NBC sent it to me last night and said the same thing. You know, what are young players thinking when they think, yeah, I'll just whip the phone out and let this the world see this?
They don't really
this.
Think anything of it. I don't think they think that it's a bad thing at all. You know, and who knows? I mean, Mike Schilt might not even look at it because the...
Well, Barstool Sports has put it out, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He knows. I mean, by this point, yeah.
I know that he knows, but I don't even know if he's going to be as upset as you might think. Like, the thing with Mike Tomlin was, in the Antonio Brown situation, was Tomlin was talking specifically about the Patriots, and really, I didn't think said anything too crazy, but you know the Patriots were going to use it as bulletin board material.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas this isn't really bulletin board material because he didn't even know who they were playing yet. So he didn't say the Dodgers, blah, 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 blah,
right.
Or the Nationals, blah, 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 blah. Like, oh, you know who's overrated is this guy on the Nationals. Like, he didn't say a word about the opponent, except it doesn't bleep and matter who it is.
Here's the apology that you get, and it'll be a real apology, but they'll only apologize about the language. We apologize if anybody was offended by the language. It was a spur of the moment thing,
right? And he didn't know that he's been recorded, yeah, type of
right.
thing. And I'm sure they're like, dude, don't do that next time. But yeah. I bet they don't freak out at him.
No.
Now, nope. He's already apologized. Arozarena has.
Okay.
Which means he got cuffed around, you know, behind closed doors. He apologized. I'm reading now from the, is this the Post-Dispatch? No, this is UPI. St. Louis Cardinals outfielder Randy Arozarena apologized today after he filmed an expletive-filled clubhouse speech by manager Mike Shilton, posted it on Instagram Live following the postseason victory. He said, I want to apologize to my teammates, manager, the Cardinals organization, and baseball fans for the video I posted tonight after our victory in Atlanta. It was a moment meant to be private. I made a rookie mistake by sharing it on my social media account. So,
yeah, their PR guy wrote that.
Who wrote that? Oh, I was going to say, who wrote that? I mean,
come on.
It's actually in Spanish on his Instagram via Notes app.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their PR guy wrote it.
It was probably written by the same guy who wrote Rob Gronkowski's statement upon being named.
Oh, my God. No, that guy went above and beyond. Yeah. No, that guy made it sound like even more of a joke. No, but that one just sort of like, yeah, my bad. My bad on that. Let's try to forget it. Something else will move on.
So that part happened last night, and, you know, it'll happen again because some other young player somewhere will do something dumb. 617-779-7937, Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Say, Mark. What's going
on? Before I get to my Ben Watson comment, I just want to say, just when you thought that we probably would have had a half-decent Thursday night matchup, and then the Giants go ahead and hurt, you know, pretty much their whole offense. So pretty much it's going to be a laugher tonight. Now
I don't, you know what? But, I don't know even with their full lineup. Well, obviously it would have been a better chance for the Giants.
I said half decent.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yep.
But anyway, my Ben Watson comment is he said that. Well, I guess it just wasn't good enough to, you know, to crack the roster. Well, I find that very hard to believe compared to what's out there at tight end at the moment, as in Lacoste and Izzo. Don't you agree, guys?
You're confusing the issue. The issue wasn't about if he's better or not. Obviously, I know that he's better than either of those guys. That's not the case.
Right.
The case was that his total salary cap number is more than both of those guys combined.
And, Mark, he is never Ben Watson is a guy who you are never going to hear him say, look, I'm better than those guys.
I understand that. But, I mean, he knows, you know, I know that he's better than both of those guys
he
combined.
He does, but he also...
I just wish maybe he would have worded it different instead of saying,
It doesn't really help him any.
You're also talking about a vet who's been around for a long time and may very well understand that it wasn't about the talent level. This was about the cap space.
Plus, he also made it clear, and Belichick kind of did as well, they didn't shut the door.
Right.
Now, and he acknowledged to OMF that they did not approach him about restructuring his contract, but he also said, you know, Bill said, well, you know, the situation might change tomorrow. It might change next week.
Because if Izzo or Lacoste blew out their knee against Washington, Watson's
on the roster.
And then they'll figure it out from there, and that's what they were doing. But what I think forget those guys for a minute. And even if Watson is better than those two guys, it wasn't an either or. I mean, the fact that Cody Kessler, the third quarterback, is still on the roster, mm-hmm. the fact that Jordan Richards, who they just brought in, and I understand Chung is hurt, but still more of a special teamer.
Right.
Plus a couple other guys that are basically the 49, 50, 51st, 52nd guy on the roster. They could have kept three tight ends. I know it's a lot of, hey, well, you could have got rid of LaCoste. Maybe you could have put, you know, Izzo on the practice squad. True, you could have. But also there's some other guys that I don't think bring a whole lot to the table that you could have made room for them. But that's why it all goes back to the salary cap. And if you're able to save money here, you're not just doing that so there's less money that you have to pay out. You're doing it for the next move. And so they better do something. Otherwise, you just let go of a tight end that might have helped you somewhere down the road.
Now, he did tell OMF yesterday that, and it makes sense, he's got a bunch of kids. I'm sure they're in school. He said they were staying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like they're, you know, packing up the kids. We're right. headed to Atlanta or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know where he's from.
A month into school here.
Right.
So yeah.
He said he's going to stay. They're going to stay here. As Rich said, you know, one of these two tight ends gets hurt. It's a simple phone call. Hey, Ben, you ready to come back? And he would, I think.
Sure. But at what
price, too?
Well, first off, if you're talking minimum, it's got to be a minimum of probably $1.1, $1.2 million. That's NFL minimum for a vet over 10. A vet over 10 years, I think, is around a million, 1.1, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, that'd be half of what he has now. But again, that would be and the other part of that equation is, do they find a deal that they're happy about with wide receivers that allows them room to re-sign Ben Watson?
Right.
I wouldn't doubt that. Why? I mean, if he's sitting there and you can fit it into your
that's
cap
the thing.
Space.
You might have to create enough cap space to get that receiver, but then there might be enough left over, right?
Like,
you might not get
the guy that you wanted.
Yeah, and you might not go to the exact number based on the stupid math and everything else you're going to have to do. So maybe there is more room for him.
And maybe it's also possible that, you know, I'm sure they're, as we said, shaking every tree, trying to find receiving help, trying to find some. And at the end of the whole process, they go, there just wasn't a deal to be made. Sorry, Bill, I tried. I couldn't get one done. And to that point, do they say, all right, Ben, you want to come back?
Maybe.
You know,
yeah,
maybe.
They're not just going to sit there with whatever the amount of extra cap space, I wouldn't think. Not with this team.
Why would
not
you?
With the right.
And
with,
they never do.
No. And so that's why I would imagine.
Although
that,
there's a narrative out there amongst some cynical Patriots fans that, you know, whatever Bill doesn't spend on the salary cap, he gets to put in his pocket.
I don't know if that's how it works.
No, not quite how it
stop.
Not quite how it works.
Yeah, minimum salary for him would be right at $1 million.
Okay.
$1,030,000. So, you know, and that you look at that and you say, okay, well, does that fit in with how this whole receiver hunt? Well, we're assuming it's a receiver hunt. It might be a tight end hunt. You know,
yeah, just a pass catcher hunt is
right,
what it is.
Yeah.
So, and we should point out too that as a vested veteran, if he were on the roster the first week of the season,
yes,
his money is guaranteed for the year.
Yep.
But he wasn't because
right,
he was suspended.
Right.
And he was never put on the roster at any point. So
also,
his money is not guaranteed. He doesn't
it wouldn't
get
be.
It.
And if you add him, say you bring him back week 8, now it's also prorated, right? So now it's half of
I would assume.
The season. So, all
would
that,
assume.
So that could help him out too.
Yep.
617-779-7937. Yep. Pat's on Long Island. Hey, Pat.
Oh, hold on 1 second. I got to pick this up.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we'll
all
hang
right
out.
We're here.
Whenever you're ready.
Everything else good there,
that's
Pat?
Fine.
Hey, how you guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty strong.
Sorry about that. Hey, I want a quick comment on that St. Louis coach. I guess he's never heard the George Collin bit about baseball and football. But on the Pats game, you think Nate Solder's kind of regretting, besides the money, where he went to the Giants? I mean, he could have had a Super Bowl ring and now he's on playing a team that's 5-0. What do you guys think?
He got offered an awful lot of money.
He did.
I think he made the right choice
he
for him
set
and
his family up for life.
Yep.
I don't know how
he was not going to get that here at all. And I think he already had 2 Super Bowl rings,
right?
So it's not like he missed out on. Yeah, he could have had 3, but he still has the 2.
Yeah, and at the time they signed him, they made him the highest paid left tackle in the game before.
Yeah, I think you're doing that
before Trent Brown became was it Trent Brown? Yeah, before Trent Brown became the highest paid out in Oakland. So,
now you're saying Marshall Newhouse.
I don't think
next
so.
Next up.
Well, hey.
Next man up.
There's more than I've seen him do so far.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. But, no, I don't think by any means he's regretted. Of course, you'd love to be part of a winning franchise and whatnot, and you don't want to.
He won for a lot of years, though.
He did win for a lot of years.
The money.
And is he part of the rebuilding that the Giants are trying to do? Probably, with that kind of money in place.
There would be a lot of hugging post-game.
Yep.
You know, there'll be a lot of guys who will seek him out, and Tom Brady among them.
Yep.
But I'm sure for his family, he's very content with the move that he made. 617-779-7937. We'll talk to Peter King in just a few minutes. We'll get back to the calls on the other side. Dale and Keefe with Diossi, Sports Radio W.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
UEEI. Time for our regular weekly visit with Peter King, Football Morning in America. Peter, brought to you by Needham Bank. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Dale. How's everything with you?
Everything's fine, thank you. It was we have a habit around here. We follow Antonio Brown on social media now because you never know what he's going to say. Yesterday, he took to social media, made a plea for the Patriots to put him back on the roster. They got to pay him anyway, he says. Might as well let me earn it. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's the number that you think, the chances that the Patriots bring Antonio Brown back?
Oh, I'd say a 3. I think just my gut feeling is Robert Kraft would probably really not want to do it. And Bill Belichick would probably side more on the side of he would want to do it. Bill Belichick is concerned with winning football games and being a great team. Antonio Brown makes him a great team. It makes him a better team, I should say. But this is going to be an interesting story if the Patriots would even consider it. I kind of doubt they would, Dale. I started hearing about this yesterday or whatever, along with a lot of people in our business. And it just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem smart for the Patriots in any way but a football way. And the Patriots have proven over the years that you can't really eliminate that possibility because football in their organization over the years has trumped all. I understand why. I do think, though, in this particular case, they really ought to just say no.
So there's obviously 3 scenarios for Antonio Brown. Either he doesn't play all season, he comes back to the Patriots, or he joins another team. If you had to rank those 3 from most likely to least likely, what do you think it would be?
Well, Rich, the only way he's joining another team is if he gets a clean bill of legal health out there. I think that is extremely unlikely in the next 10 or 12 weeks that all of these problems that he has, both with the league and in this, particularly in the case where he has been accused of rape, it would surprise me a lot if anybody out there would sign him. I know what Drew Rosenhaus is saying. Drew Rosenhaus is an agent. I just would be stunned if anybody signed him with what currently is out there. So I guess if you ask me to pick what I think is going to happen, I think Antonio Brown sits for the rest of the year.
The New York Giants come to Gillette Stadium tonight, and they are a mess right now with the injured players that they have. They've made the change at quarterback, which was probably the right move. But how tough a situation is this entire organization in as they prepare to take on an undefeated Patriots team tonight?
Well, it's just another argument against Thursday night football. I think people will use this if the Patriots win 34-6 tonight, which probably they should do. But I think everybody will use this as another argument against Thursday night football, which, hey, look, I would not mind if they didn't play Thursday night games. I would just say 2 things, though. There are players, maybe not many. Jason Kelce of the Eagles said it a couple of weeks ago that we kind of like having that mini bye afterwards where you get 4 days off before your next week of practice. But I think the other issue, Dale, is going to be, do you want to take X percent, whatever the number is? It's a gigantic number of how much Fox is paying for the Thursday night games, and the players are getting 47% of that, in effect. So it's one thing to say we don't want to play on Thursday night. It's another thing to say we'll give up, I don't even know what the number is, 12 to 15% of our income as a group by not playing Thursday. That might be too much. It might be 8 or 10%. But that's going to be the real question. And I think as far as just micro looking at this particular thing, the bad part of this for the Giants, the bad part tonight, honestly, is Evan Engram. Because there's no question in my mind that Daniel Jones would never have a lot of success throwing deep against this team. And he's not going to have time to throw deep against this team. But what he needs is he needs that, you know, 6 to 10 yard intermediate insurance that Evan Engram provided. And that's not going to be there tonight. So I expect it not to be very pretty for the Giants.
Were you surprised when you heard that Ben Watson got released?
I was, until I saw what exactly the reason was, which obviously, if you can save $2 million on your cap in a year when you almost certainly are going to need a reinforcement either at the trading deadline or at some point to improve your offensive weaponry with all due, and I think it's an absolutely totally raw deal. It's just part of the ugliness of football that Ben Watson basically invests this time and then, you know, the job isn't there when he's ready to go. And I understand there's mitigating circumstances because of the 4-game suspension. If he hadn't been suspended, I doubt sincerely this would have happened, and he probably would be playing right now. But it just, you know, for the, I'll tell you what, I've covered football for 35 years. I have not met five better guys than Benjamin Watson. He is a great human being. He does everything for all the right reasons. And, I feel for him in this case. I really do.
Earlier today, I was reading a Yahoo piece by Charles Robinson from 2017 in which Jerry Jones was musing about how difficult it is for the NFL to get into the China market and how important it would be from a financial perspective, but that it's a daunting task. With what's happening with the NBA right now, would you expect Roger Goodell and the rest of the NFL would like to keep China at arm's length?
Dale, that is a fantastic question. Last week, I had Chris Halpin, who is the NFL chief growth and strategy officer, on my podcast. We talked for about 40 minutes, and we talked about China. And this was before this whole Daryl Morey thing happened. But when we talk about China, the bigger problem with China, I think, for the NFL, because, look, I hate to say this, but this too shall pass. When there is a mountain of money to be made, people usually figure out an accommodation. And the NFL has been very good at that over the years. I would prefer to think of this more than just in the Hong Kong part of the story. I prefer to think of it in more the pragmatic part of the story, which is I think the NFL would really love to play a game or two in time in China. And I think there are owners, a regular season game or two, that even though it would be highly disruptive, I think there are owners that would be willing to do it. And I think I'd put Jerry Jones at the front of the list. Seattle would be willing. I think Robert Kraft would be willing. I think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen in the next couple of years, but eventually I believe, you know, there's 10,000 kids in and around Beijing playing flag football right now. So what does that mean? I don't know. But there's some little pocket, you know, in China of people who seem to like football. And in addition, you can watch Red Zone in China. You know, it's the NFL has figured out how to plug their sport into certain places around the world, and we'll see what happens with that investment. It's really worked well in England, in Germany, Ireland, Scotland. It's worked well in places that have really adopted American football. Will it ever happen in China? I don't know, but I believe that Chris Halpin and Roger Goodell, even though I don't think Goodell will be around to see it, I think eventually there will be a game or two played there just to see if it works.
Peter, what's the likelihood in your mind that Stephon Diggs gets traded, and then could the Patriots possibly be a landing spot for him?
Great question, Rich. I theorized the other day that he'd be a really, really interesting trade target because he's extremely manageable money-wise. He's in his prime. I forget, it's something like $37 million over the next 4 years. Over the next three-plus years. And, you know, that's eminently doable for a guy who's going to put up the numbers he is. I think the biggest problem, I was told Sunday night, I did some reporting on the Vikings on Sunday night after they beat the Giants, and I was told it is highly unlikely that he will be traded, and they don't think he wants to be traded. He's a really emotional guy, and I don't know what it was that set him off last week, but I don't think it was a demand to be traded. Now, I'm not saying he couldn't be traded, but I'm saying that we have thought all along, hey, maybe that's the beginning of Jalen Ramsey too,
right?
That he might be. But I was told pretty solidly that as of right now, he doesn't want to be traded, and the Vikings have no intention of trading him.
Peter, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All the best, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Peter King joining us, as he does every Thursday. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. We'll get Steve DiAsi back in here as we continue our look. Patriots and Giants tonight at Gillette Stadium. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
Tonight, the Patriots look to extend their impressive start to a perfect 6-0.
Well, the Patriots responded the way you thought they would. They came out and they played solid defense, and Tom Brady bounced back.
As they get ready to face the Giants.
This is a storied franchise, and goes very fortunate to be a part of that great organization for 12 years.
Coverage gets underway this afternoon at 2, with Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier broadcasting live from Foxborough. As they get you set for Pats and Giants, this is the destination for Patriots fans.
This is it, folks. This team was down 28-3 in the third, and here we are tied in overtime on the goal line. It all comes down to this.
We got this. Let's go, baby.
Don't jinx it, man.
Toss to the right side. And he's in. Wow.
I told you, nothing stops the GOAT. No limitations, baby. No limitations.
No limitations is our motto, too, at Needham Bank. With a free checking account you can open in less than 5 minutes and free ATMs anywhere in the world. Visit NeedhamBank.com. Member FDIC, SIF.
Massachusetts, welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
It's late, and you accidentally like an old photo of your ex. You unlike it, but it's no use.
No.
The internet is faster than your fingers. You couldn't save yourself from the agony of an unintentional ex-like, but you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Oh.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance. While the photo you liked, but actually hate, is becoming your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Okay.
Geico even offers 24/7 access to licensed agents in the award-winning Geico mobile app.
Nice.
It's funny how a misplaced tap could cause such anguish. Speaking of tapping, your local Geico agent could help you tap into more savings,
ooh,
like federal and military discounts.
You couldn't save yourself from an unintentional ex-like, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
How are you spending your weekend? With friends and family? Or at the car dealership? Why lease a new car the old way? With Roto, lease your vehicle in 3 easy steps, all from our app. Shop real-time inventory and see the clear cost. That means the best price, personalized to you with no haggling. Then complete your lease right from your phone. The best part? Your new car is delivered right to your door. Download the Roto app today. That's R-O-D-O. Ready, set, Roto.
Today's transformative business leaders need to stay ahead of technology-driven change. Prepare to lead transformation with a master's degree from Northeastern University's DeMoor McKim School of Business. Combine cutting-edge tech with big data. Turn inspiration into innovation. Our world-class academics are powered by experience. It's business education reimagined. Learn more at northeastern.edu/bemore.
Have you heard about the new all-in-one Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare? The AARP Medicare Advantage Walgreens plan from UnitedHealthcare includes coverage for all your healthcare needs, from medical and hospital insurance to prescription drug coverage, all rolled into one convenient plan. The AARP Medicare Advantage Walgreens plan from UnitedHealthcare also offers you a low monthly premium, $0 copays on Tier 1 prescription drugs filled at Walgreens, and a free gym membership, so you have the freedom to spend your money the way you choose. Finally, the freedom you've earned in a Medicare plan you deserve. Go to AARP Medicare Advantage Walgreens.com for all the plan details. That's AARP Medicare Advantage Walgreens.com. Limitations and exclusions apply. Benefits and features vary by plan. AARP isn't an insurer, doesn't recommend products, and encourages you to evaluate your needs. United Healthcare contracts directly with Walgreens for this plan. AARP and its affiliates are not parties to this contractual relationship. $0 copay not available at non-preferred pharmacies. Other pharmacies are available in our network.
This is Dana Katz from Milton's, the store for men. You probably think of Milton's when you need a new suit, but we can help you get dressed for work no matter what you wear for work. We'll put together the right look whether you want a Patriots hoodie and jeans or the latest performance shirts and pants, all from Bonobos, Vineyard Vines, Johnny O, Tommy Bahama, Barber, Cole Haan, and more. At Milton's, you'll be as comfortable in our stores as you'll be in our clothes. South Shore Plaza, Braintree, and Chestnut Hill Square, Chestnut Hill. Or online at Milton's.com. Are
you ready? Fridays won't know what hit it. Boom! There's a new era of WWE SmackDown on Fox. Oh my God! Featuring your favorite WWE superstars all ready to put the smack back in SmackDown. Are you ready? Catch Kofi Kingston, the Queen Charlotte Flair, the Big Dog Roman Reigns, and me, Becky Lynch, the man. Friday Night SmackDown, tomorrow at 8 p.m. on Fox.
It's the final days of Macy's Columbus Day Sale with our lowest prices of the season on furniture. With cooler temperatures here, you can stay cozy and refresh the whole house with perfect updates for your living room, bedroom, dining room, and more. And when you use your Macy's card, you'll get special financing on any furniture or mattress purchase of $499 or more. Shop in-store at Macy's.com or call 1-800-BUY-MACY for our lowest prices of the season on furniture. Financing subject to credit approval. See store associate for details.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
617-779-7937. Steve DiAsti's in the house with us. You heard Peter King talk about Thursday night football. And he said he wouldn't mind if they didn't play on Thursday nights. I am of the same opinion, by the way. I don't like Thursday night football. Obviously, you like it more if your team's playing.
Mm-hmm.
I found it interesting that Matthew Slater, who's a pretty thoughtful guy and not only a team leader, but I think a league leader in issues like this, talked about Thursday night football in the Patriots locker room earlier this week.
I know we've had a lot of discussions about it as a union, and I know it's a good product as far as the consumers are concerned, and the fans enjoy these Thursday night products. But, you know, I think when you talk about the rigors of playing in an NFL game and then what it takes to recover and be able to do it again the following week, to do a, you know, Sunday to Thursday turnaround is, you know, it's tough. And, you know, it doesn't fit under the umbrella of player safety as far as I'm concerned. So, but you guys know that. I've said that every year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is what it is. You're always thankful for the opportunity to take the field and play. You got to do what you got to do to try to get yourself back and ready, and then, you know, take advantage of the long weekend after that.
So we talked to Daron Harmon earlier this week on Monday about Thursday night mm-hmm. football, and he said, you know, if you're not dinged up, you know, it's fine. I don't mind. But if you are dinged up, and basically everybody's dinged up to some degree, yeah. right? It's awfully tough to ask players to do this.
Yeah, and I think for the most part, we've gotten a lot of really bad games. Now, this year, there have been some entertaining games, and part of it is you've gotten some really good teams early on.
Right.
The other problem with Thursday Night Football is it's a primetime game. It starts the week, and to make it fair for everybody, every team in the league has to play on Thursday. There's a lot of really bad teams, so you are eventually going to showcase some bad teams. As we just talked with Peter, you have one great team tonight,
I mean,
and one team
that's
not
a good game at all tonight.
No, it's probably going to be terrible.
What is it, a 17-point spread, I think?
It is a 17-point spread. Unfortunately, you know, the main reason to watch the Giants is Saquon Barkley, and he's not going to be there, so that's unfortunate. But I've never liked Thursday Night Football. Like, yes, Thanksgiving is great. It's a nice, fantastic.
I used to love Thanksgiving.
Just leave it alone. It should be the doubleheader on Thanksgiving, and that is it.
Now it's a tripleheader because we got to have more.
Yeah, right. I don't need the night game. I really don't. And I love the idea of sort of dominating Sunday, and then you throw the one bonus Monday game at you, and then that's it. And it's better for the players. They're going 6 days in between games or whatever like it should be, or 7 days in between games like it should be. The quick turnaround, I don't like, and more often than not, you get a worse product for it.
I've noticed that when CBAs are up and negotiating has to be done, I notice that there's more talk about the Thursday games. It happens when the union discusses Thursday games. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much of it is a negotiating ploy. I like Thursday night games, except for the fact, like you said earlier, there's too many times you see teams that you don't really care about seeing. I want to see half the teams in the league. The other half I really don't care about.
Right. Like, it's Sunday Night Football, usually has great matchups.
Yes.
Monday Night Football now sucks, but it used to be the best.
Right.
You know, it used to be you would always find a way to have the best teams from the year before, and they would match up, and you would look forward to the Monday Night game. Now, for whatever reason, and maybe one of the reasons is, you know, CBS and Fox can protect so many of their games, you know, they're going to say, well, we want the Patriots to be on mm-hmm. CBS as many times as possible.
Right.
So you can only have them so many times, and you can only play in those primetime games. But, yeah, it's just there's so much money involved that you're always going to have it.
Like Thursday
Night Football is going to be there forever
the
now.
The Patriots did not have a practice this week. They mm-hmm. had three walkthroughs.
Right.
There's a reason for that.
Of course there is.
You can't ask players to do what they do on Sunday and go out there and practice like you always do, and then out you go again on Thursday.
How many Thursday night games do you play every year?
One.
Everybody plays one.
Okay. Is it that big a deal?
Yeah, but you usually play the Sunday before as well.
True. But is it that big a deal? One game a year.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Cowboys and Detroit have been doing it for 30 years, 40 years.
Right. But so, do they usually get the bye week the week before or no? I forget how it works.
I don't know. I mean, that'd be hard to do, but you're talking about I understand exactly what Matthew's saying, and he has a point there, but when you're talking about one game a year, how do you monetize, or how do you decide how big that is on the health of the player?
Well, and as Peter pointed mm-hmm. out, the money is huge,
right?
I mean, the money that Fox pays for the Thursday night package. The players don't want to give it up. The NFL doesn't want to give it up. But to Matthew Slater's point, do you really care about player safety all that much?
They don't.
They claim they do, but they don't.
The NFL
you get hurt, you get hurt.
No, the NFL doesn't. The Players Association.
They don't either.
A little more than the NFL does, but you also wonder how much of it is lip service. And that comes again to the idea of 18 games. You've already said that you will put yourself in danger for a certain amount of money for 16 games. Okay, does the 18 games for more money? Is that, I mean, are you, is
they'll
it simply,
do it for the more money. Anytime there's more money on the table, I think they'll do
it's
it.
It's a negotiating point, and I get it, and I understand it, and that's what the union should do. They should use anything they have for a negotiating ploy, and that's all fine and well. Automatically, it'd have to be a 12.5% increase because you're increasing the number of games by that many. So, and you wouldn't even accept that. You'd have to go 15% to 20% across the board raise in salary cap and salary. So I think a lot of the fuss is a combination of two things. When you get a number of less than satisfactory games and the Monday night games are compounded with some bad games there too, now all of a sudden people are like, we don't need them. I don't think one Thursday a season is a lot to ask of the guys. I don't think it is.
And for the people who have suggested, I see it on the text line, well, why couldn't you just schedule the Thursday night game coming off the bye week? Then you'd have to have the bye week in week one for somebody.
Right.
You wouldn't be able to do it all the time.
You can't do it.
Yeah, because they start the bye weeks week four, which is probably, even that's probably a little too early. But I look at it like last week, I was annoyed with the schedule because Sunday is usually the day where most of us invest 10 hours into football, and it's the greatest day of the week. They had 10 games on at 1 o'clock. They only had two in the 4 o'clock window.
Right.
And I was like, well, first of all, you should maybe move some of the 1 o'clocks. Or you take the Thursday game, you put that at 4 o'clock, and now at least you're bouncing around to a few different games. You know, otherwise, Red Zone is just two games. And like, oh, they're both in a commercial right now. You're like, well, wait a minute. This isn't what I said no commercials.
I like Scott Hansen, but let's go here.
And by the way, to my point about the Some of the games so far have been pretty entertaining. Was it Seahawks-Rams? Was the Thursday night game? Like, that was great.
Very good.
But so tonight you got the Giants. Next week, I think it is Broncos and Chiefs. Right. So that's going to be a beatdown. Then you get the Redskins and the Vikings. So the Redskins might be, maybe they'll get their first win this week, maybe not.
Because Bill Callahan's got them running sprints at the end of practice this week. That's a good plan.
And then the Cardinals are in it the next week. Like, all these bad teams are going to start to show up. And I don't even know what's worse. Is it worse to have a trash team like the Broncos play the Chiefs? Or would you rather, so at least you get to watch
Good
Mahomes,
point.
Or do you want to see two trash teams play each other and at least the game's competitive? Like, I don't even know what's worse, but either way, you unfortunately have to showcase all 32 teams
and
on Thursday night.
And you can't hide a Thursday night game, just like you can't hide a Monday night game if it was a bad game.
It's there for all to see.
Yeah, yep, you're right.
617-779-7937. Steve D'Ossi's in the house. We get right back to your calls coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.